Setting up a special economic zone covering the Islander Development Region and Pangrang in Johor State. Businesses in the zone will benefit from a tax incentive package and a one-stop business center. Let's get the details from the 11th Malaysia-Singapore Leaders Retreat in Putrajaya.
Not only as a neighbor, but very important ally and committed to enhancing bilateral relations. And we have seen various achievements in all fields and endeavor. And today we have seen new measures extending beyond the traditional sort of arrangements into new areas, including education, energy, and a few other investments. Of course, Singapore remains as our number one in all fields. Bilateral investments and also in terms of trade. And we look forward to enhancing this, particularly with the Johor-Singapore Economic Zone, which to me a spectacular sort of a move within the region and of course internationally. And I look forward to working well with Prime Minister Lawrence on this. How else can we help and work not only to ensure the success of Johor, Malaysia, but also Singapore and jointly in the region. And then we discussed a number of issues, including some concerns about maritime cooperation, which has been there for some time. But at least there is clear commitment and progress. Similarly with water discussions, we are reopening the discussions and the technical team will discuss the parameters. We explored the, suggestion, particularly by Sarawak government, on the export of energy using the undersea cable through Semenanjung to Singapore, or alternatively other measures which would require the understanding of our other neighbours. We also discussed the issue of Flight Information Region, FIR, recognizing the needs of Malaysia in terms of its connectivity with Sabah, Sarawak, but at the same time, the requirements of Singapore to ensure that the performance and activities in Changi and Selangor is unaffected and will be further facilitated. So, and thank again for the support for Malaysia's chairmanship of ASEAN, and I look forward to engaging with Prime Minister Lawrence, although he's just assumed the position of Prime Minister, but I think I've met him a number of times, and exchanges have been extremely cordial, friendly, and helpful in many, many ways in terms of our joint effort and commitment to enhance bilateral relations between Malaysia and Singapore. So I wish you a happy new year. We just recovered from COVID. Brilliant. I'm extremely pleased. And I think I share the sentiments expressed by my colleagues. And you see that the number, presence of our ministers and also the importance we accord as a friend and as a trusted friend, Singapore, and I really wish that we could continue and do more together as two great friendly nations. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Prime Minister. I now have the honour to invite His Excellency, Prime Minister of Singapore, to deliver his statement.
Thank you, Prime Minister Anwar, for your warm hospitality extended to me and my delegation for this visit and for our first leaders' retreat together. Unfortunately, we were not able to meet in December last year. I came down with COVID, one of those things that happens unexpectedly. I thank you and the Malaysian government for making the accommodations to adjust to a different date, and I'm very glad that we are able to find a date right at the beginning of 2025. So I'm your first visitor for the year, and I'm glad that we are able to start the new year on such a positive footing to have this visit and to have our first leaders retreat together. Of course, PM Anwar and I have met many times bilaterally since my first introductory visit last year, and also in regional and multilateral forums. We have built up a very strong understanding, friendship, a relationship built on trust with one another, and that anchors our bilateral relationship as well. So this retreat is a useful opportunity to strengthen our friendship even further. We both agreed on a shared vision of growing connections and connectivity between our two countries. For example, we are celebrating our shared heritage. We have done so through the joint nominations of the Kabaya and Jingge for UNESCO's Intangible Cultural Heritage List. And we are having a triannual cultural showcase, which Malaysia will host this year in conjunction with the 60th anniversary of diplomatic ties. We are investing in our shared future together. You saw the host of agreements that we exchanged just now, including the MOU on higher education, as well as the exchanges of English teachers through the Malaysia-Singapore English Volunteers Program, which both PM Anwar and I discussed during my introductory visit last year. We both agree that bilateral cooperation must continue to deliver concrete benefits to both our peoples. And that's the basis on which we worked on the Johor-Singapore SEZ, or Special Economic Zone. It's an important project which will build on the complementary strengths of Singapore and Johor so that we can both be more competitive, enhance our value proposition, and jointly attract more investments to our shores. And by doing so, it will create good jobs and more opportunities for our peoples. When negotiating the agreement, both sides have actively engaged stakeholders to ensure that the SEZ has the conditions to help our businesses grow together for the longer term. So we are confident about the SEZ and we look forward to taking it forward. We are also enhancing and strengthening our transport connectivity. Besides the SEZ, transport connectivity is important. We have the RTS link, which will commence services by end 2026. In fact, when completed, it will be able to carry 20,000 passengers every hour. That's more than the current KTM shuttle does in an entire day. So it is going to be important, and we are continuing to see how we can enhance the connectivity further. On the Singapore side, we are working hard to redevelop Woodlands Checkpoint, which will, when done, help to tackle congestion at the checkpoints too. Sustainability is a key priority for both sides, so we have also discussed and made good progress on how we can cooperate on green energy and sustainability, including through cross-border electricity trading. There are some projects that we are discussing, both coming through Laos, Thailand, Malaysia, Singapore, as well as from Sarawak, and we are fully committed to realizing the ASEAN power grid. And just now we signed two MOUs on carbon credits and carbon capture and storage, because both countries are committed to working out solutions to jointly tackle climate change. Both Prime Minister Anwar and I had also discussed outstanding bilateral issues, which he mentioned just now, including on airspace, water, and maritime delimitation. These are all important issues for both our countries. We will continue to discuss these issues holistically and constructively within the overall context of our broader relationship. The issues are complex. We have made some progress, but we still need more time to resolve them. But we will continue to engage in good faith and as good neighbors. And I'm confident that working together, we can develop durable outcomes on all of these issues with a balance of benefit on both sides. On ASEAN, Singapore fully supports Malaysia's ASEAN chairmanship this year, and I'm confident that under Prime Minister Anwar's leadership, ASEAN's community building efforts and its engagement with key partners will continue to grow from strength to strength. Finally, as we celebrate the 60th anniversary of diplomatic ties this year, we can be proud of what we have accomplished together as good friends and close neighbours. I am glad to find in Prime Minister Anwar a partner who who is equally committed to ensuring that our ties continue to flourish and uplift both our peoples. So I thank Prime Minister Anwar for his friendship, for the trust that we have established, for the arrangements for today's visit, and I look forward to meeting him again before too long, either in Malaysia or in Singapore. I will certainly be visiting Malaysia for upcoming ASEAN meetings, and I look forward to hosting him in Singapore for the leaders' retreat later this year. Thank you once again.
Thank you, Honourable Prime Minister. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, I now wish to invite both Prime Ministers to take a couple of questions, each from the members of the media. We will take the first question from the Malaysian media. Please state your name and affiliation before posing your question.
Salam sejahtera, Datuk Seri and Prime Minister Lawrence. I'm Samantha from Bernama. So my first question would be, KL Singapore HSR project revival, should it proceed or not? Why and what's next? And second question is Singapore's support and hope on Malaysia chairmanship of ASEAN. Thank you.
As far as the HSR is concerned, it's unfortunate we were not able to proceed with it originally, but we are open to listening to new proposals from the Malaysia side, starting from a clean slate. And so that's our position, because from our point of view, greater connectivity between our two countries is always a plus. So that's our, that's where we are. As far as ASEAN chairmanship is concerned, as I mentioned just now, Singapore fully supports Malaysia's chairmanship of ASEAN. We think it's going to be more important now than ever before for ASEAN to be strong, integrated, and united. Because the greater competition we face is not amongst ourselves within ASEAN. It's outside of the region. Everyone is trying to anchor major projects now in today's world where the big economies are all talking about reshoring, onshoring, nearshoring. They want the key projects to be nearer to their home economies. So ASEAN has to come together, look at ways in which we can enhance our value proposition and be competitive together. And Malaysia and Singapore can form a very important foundation for a stronger ASEAN. That's why the Johor-Singapore SEZ, the RTS, these are all critical building blocks towards more integrated ASEAN. And where ASEAN is concerned, we are talking about not just more trade and investment linkages, but infrastructure linkages, including the ASEAN power grid. These are all good projects that Singapore will support, and we hope under Malaysia's leadership, we can make good progress on these projects.
Thank you. On HSR, our position is, of course, to invite the participation of the private sector, because government has its limitations. We have put the issue of poverty alleviation, flood mitigation, issue of basic infrastructure, education and public health as our priority, at least for the next 1 or 2 years. So the mega projects are going to be deferred, primarily because of this commitment to settling some of the outstanding issues dealing with the basic infrastructure and education and health and issues of poverty. But we are still waiting for some promising and positive contribution by the or participation by the private sector to proceed when necessary. We will have to look at the proposal. There have been some proposals. The Ministry of Transport is looking at it, but we will ensure that it can only. We have decided it will only happen if we have full participation of the private sector, with the very minimal government involvement. On ASEAN, I think I certainly concur with the views expressed by Prime Minister Lawrence. That is why the focus should be more in terms of energy, ASEAN energy grid, or connectivity in the ASEAN digitalization framework, in terms of enhancing intra-trade and investments within ASEAN, which has been unfortunately lacking. We've been successful in many areas, and I think we should commend the contributions by past leaders, but I think the new focus is now mainly on the issue of the importance of strengthening our economic fundamentals as a region and strategic position vis-a-vis the new players in the new uncertain geopolitical demands and dictates. Thank you.
Next, we will take a question from the Singaporean side.
Good morning, Chin Su Fang from the Straits Times. Both prime ministers mentioned that there were discussions on several bilateral issues. So can we find out more on the status of some of these issues like maritime delimitation, water and airspace, and what are the challenges to a faster resolution of these issues on both sides? Thank you.
These are long-standing issues, and they are complex in nature. Since I visited last year at the introductory visit, both Prime Minister Anwar and I have asked the officials to meet. They have done so across all of these issues on maritime boundaries, on water and on airspace. They have had good discussions. Some progress has been made, but we are not ready to resolve all of them yet because they are complex. And while we would like the resolution to be expeditious, I think it's also important that we give time for the officials to meet, talk to one another, understand each other's positions, and come up with an agreement and an outcome that is durable and that is beneficial for both sides. And both the Prime Minister Anwar and I are fully committed to doing so, to having good faith conversations and discussions in a manner that is constructive, that will discuss the issues holistically and make sure that these outstanding matters do not ever detract from our overall relationship. That's why we are still able to move forward on positive win-win projects like the SEZ and the RTS. So we do not want these issues, even if there are differences of views, to detract from the positive projects that we can do together. But where these issues are concerned, we are fully committed to discussing them constructively, holistically, and I am confident that in time to come, we can achieve durable and mutually beneficial outcomes across all of them.
Yes, these are complex issues, and our position is, of course, as Prime Minister Lawrence have said, to deal with it holistically or in a comprehensive manner, so that you see that some areas which is demanded by Singapore and some demanded by Malaysia should be fully considered, and the final settlement should be a win-win sort of a position. But this has not in any way, and I agree, not only distracted, but frustrated any of our positive attitude, position on the fundamentals, economic or energy or digital or investments and trade. And to me, this has to continue, and we can expand this further because these negotiations have been going on for the last few decades. So I don't think we should wait for the few decades to come. But we can always do it, not necessarily in the next annual retreat. We agree that at least quarterly basis, we should have form of short meeting to review this, and in that manner compel our technical team, the experts, to deal with it expeditiously.
Thank you. We will now return to Malaysian side for the third question.
Assalamualaikum and salam sejahtera. My name is Madiha from Astro Awani. My question would be, what is your message to investors, especially on incentive structure? What incentives will be offered to attract investors and businesses to SEZ? Thank you.
Guess first.
Well, our message, not just mine, I think both prime ministers, our message to investors is, look at the complementarities between Johor and Singapore, because there are many advantages in coming here and looking at this entire ecosystem, not Johor by itself, nor Singapore by itself, but as an ecosystem that complements one another. And I think there are many strengths that we can harness from both sides that will allow us to enhance our value proposition and make this a much more competitive and attractive venue for businesses to operate from. Certainly on the Singapore side, we've engaged many of our businesses and they are very keen to do more out of Johor and then to combine with our operations in Singapore. We already have existing incentives for businesses who want to expand overseas. So businesses from Singapore can tap on those incentives, market readiness programs and grants, in order to expand and have some operations in Johor that will synergize with their operations in Singapore. But in fact, I think the greater potential for the SEZ is not just about Singapore businesses going to Johor, but it's about both sides working together to attract new investment projects globally. And if we can come together, which we intend to, market the SEZ together, promote the SEZ as a combined destination, Johor, Singapore together, hopefully this will allow both of us to attract even more global investments to our respective countries, enhance the pie, expand the pie, create good jobs for both our peoples.
The SEZ is a unique initiative. Very rarely do you find two countries working together as a team. You can see any part of the world where two countries decide to work together, promote both countries, and attract investments and be seen to be having compact relationship. Both countries are countries led by a government that's politically stable, with clarity in economic policies, and a clear position or policy to attract investments. And not only that, but selective in the sense that investments that we think will affect the demands and dictates of the future. And I think that by itself is a great incentive, other than the financial incentive or the infrastructure you're talking about. Because you can see any part of the region or the world where two countries work together as a team, it is a rare feat. And we are now expanding this sort of a sentiment and policy towards the sub-region and ASEAN as a whole.
And now for the final question from the Singaporean side.
Good morning, Prime Minister Zafifa from CNA. We were talking about global economic uncertainties, all eyes on Trump's second term starting very soon, potential tariffs. Observers are also looking at heightened superpower tensions. Was this something that was discussed, how Malaysia and Singapore plans to bolster economic resilience, perhaps in areas like the SEZ bilaterally and also regionally within ASEAN?
We touched on this, not explicitly, but it's at the back of our minds. Because we all know that we are entering a new era where global tensions are here to stay, geopolitical rivalries are here to stay, and the world is becoming a more dangerous and troubled place. This is not going to go away in the near term. It's with us for quite some time to come. And therefore, it's even more important for us to find ways to strengthen our linkages, cooperate on a win-win basis. We are doing this bilaterally, as I mentioned just now, with the SEZ, RTS, and many other projects which we are exploring, including on cross-border electricity trading, digitalization, infrastructure, all the possibilities for us to strengthen our linkages. But we are also hoping that the bilateral relationship between Malaysia and Singapore can provide an important foundation and building block for a stronger ASEAN, which, again, we have an opportunity to advance through Malaysia's chairmanship. So these the global challenges and tensions are indeed on our minds, and I think it's a very strong and powerful motivation for all of us to come together, strengthen our bilateral and regional ties.
I think we did discuss last night, and for example, to agree the importance of working together bilaterally and regionally to face the more unpredictable sort of a global political environment. Now, but we also touch on the point of complement one another. Singapore has its strength vis-a-vis some countries. We have our strength vis-a-vis some other countries. Why can't we work as a team and to assist and complement one another? How do we actually ensure that or for the future, I mean, to certain predict the future is very, very difficult, but at least we take adequate measures to strengthen, I mean, consolidate our own strength nationally and bilaterally between the two countries, and more so with ASEAN. And I, in my exchanges with ASEAN leaders, I can sense this new spirit. Now, look, we have to strengthen ourselves as a regional force to be able to withstand the unpredictable pressures from other areas or groups or regions. We hope that we should collaborate instead of talking about contentious divisions and tensions. But finally, it is how we deal with these issues. And I am, of course, I can't give all the answers. I think what we can do is we do our best for now to strengthen our fundamentals and our force and work as friendly nations to collaborate with all. And that's the position that Malaysia has taken. And I see Singapore has its strength, and so do we. And why can't we work? There's two countries having sort of a common strategy to assist one another and to work and benefit from each other's strength. And I think this is the new attitude we must have, other than talking in terms of always a rivalry and unnecessary conflicts. And I think that's only not only the spirit with Singapore, but I see many of our countries within ASEAN, even in our attitude in trying to resolve the more contentious Myanmar conflict. There is that preparedness to try and work together as a team. And that's the only thing that we can do, that we are able to do, and I don't think we can resolve more complex international issues.
Thank you, Honorable Prime Ministers, for the responses. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, we have now concluded our event. Announcing the departure of the Honorable Prime Ministers of Malaysia and Singapore.
That was Singapore Prime Minister Lawrence Wong and his Malaysian counterpart Anwar Ibrahim speaking at a joint conference following the exchange of the Johor-Singapore Special Economic Zone Agreement and several other MOUs. Both leaders are in Putrajaya for the 11th Malaysia-Singapore Leaders Retreat. Singapore Prime Minister Lawrence Wong called the agreement an important project which will build on the complementary strengths of Singapore and Johor. He added that Singapore is seeing how to further enhance connectivity by redeveloping the current Woodlands checkpoint. Meantime, Malaysia's Prime Minister says there is clear commitment and progress from both sides on long-standing issues like water, and that his government is exploring suggestions from Sarawak on the export of energy using undersea cables to Singapore.